Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Friday evening church service on this 14th day of November, 2025. We are drawing close to the end of another year, and praise God that we're a week closer to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we get ourselves ready. Happy Sabbath also to our dear sister Pat, and welcome, dear sister. It's been a while. And praise God for his merciful kindness and his tender love to each one of us.
Happy Sabbath.
It's good to see you, dear sister. Thank you. Well, at least see your name, you know.
Thank you. Great to see you guys.
Oh, praise the Lord. We're glad you're here. And praise God for bringing us safely through another week. It is marvelous what the Lord does for his people in very unexpected ways. He definitely reads our hearts, and he knows exactly what what we need for the best. Thank you, Father. Well, our opening song for tonight's meeting is Dare to Be a Daniel. And those who know this wonderful hymn, please feel free to take a verse. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host, by joining Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose for. Dare to make it known. And I hope the angels were singing with me that time.
Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to hear your voice, dear sister. Hold the temperance banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his hosts defy and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. And may we always stand for Jesus, for the truth, and he will confess our names before the Father. And what an honor that is. Well, dear ones, who would like to open our service with prayer? Please go right ahead.
Thank you, dear Father in heaven. Thank you for the preparation day and for Sabbath, which is now arriving in many of the countries. Thank you also for your love, your many, many blessings. And thank you for Jesus, who makes it possible for us to live forever in a beautiful world. Thank you for the creation, which reminds us of the brilliance and also the creativity of our Creator, and shows us how much He loved color. Be with us through the meeting. Send the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts, and be with the speaker who brings us this message, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. We are continuing in our study book, Prophets and Kings. We're in chapter 41, titled The Fiery Furnace. So dare to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we left off last time about two-thirds of the way down on page 510 to the paragraph that starts out, The Experiences of That Day. And among the last things we were talking about was that when Nebuchadnezzar had two of his mightiest men in the army throw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that he looked to see what would happen to them, and they stood up and they were walking around in the fire. They weren't screaming, they weren't getting burned up or anything, and he saw a fourth person there. And he said, the fourth looks like the Son of God. And we read some insights that the Spirit of Prophecy had on that point. And it wasn't that Nebuchadnezzar had seen the image of the Son of God before, but he recognized from the lives of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the image or the character of the God of Israel. And of course, the Holy Spirit was there to impress upon the heart of Nebuchadnezzar that this was their God whom they served, that delivered them from the king's decree and prevented the fire from destroying them. So Nebuchadnezzar called them to come out. They obeyed him. When they came out, the only thing that was burned was the ropes that had bound them. There was no smell of fire on them. Their clothing, their hair was not singed at all. And Nebuchadnezzar was quite impressed. So that's about where we ended our discussion last time. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. And praise God, He's the same today. The experiences of that day led Nebuchadnezzar to issue a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. There is no other God, he urged as the reason for the decree, that can deliver after this sort. In these and like words, the king of Babylon endeavored to spread abroad before all the peoples of earth his conviction that the power and authority of the God of the Hebrews was worthy of supreme adoration. And God was pleased with the effort of the king to show him reverence and to make the royal confession of allegiance as widespread as was the Babylonian realm. So quite amazing here. I mean, this was after God had given Nebuchadnezzar the dream, after God had revealed to him his ability to control the events of the world, to even control the life of the king. And so God was revealing to Nebuchadnezzar over and over and over again that God is in control, that there's nothing you can do to fight against his will, and it would be better for you to submit and follow his will, right? Because then you receive the approbation, the blessings, and the approval of God. Otherwise, he cannot bless you. He cannot approve of what you're doing. And thus, you're on the down road that leads to destruction. So quite a decree. And this gives us a little bit of insight here as to why, at times, God allows seemingly bad things to happen to his people. And if they remain faithful, then great things are enabled to occur because of their faithfulness. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have pretended to adjust their sandals at the same time everyone was bowing at the music, right? Then they would not have stood firmly for God in their hearts, right? They would have said, well, I'm not bowing here. I'm just adjusting my sandal. But God read the motives. And if they didn't stand firmly for God without the least bit of concession to the king, then all of this great spreading of the truth about the God of Israel could not have taken place throughout the entire realm of the Babylonian Empire. So sometimes God allows bad things to happen to us because there's a much bigger picture than what we're able to see or realize. And if we remain faithful to God, trusting in his ability to come to our defense if necessary, then what a glorious victory can be obtained, especially for the spreading of the truth of our Savior. Any thoughts or insights, questions, anything that you'd like to bring forth at this time, dear ones, please go right ahead.
Sometimes people get a wake-up call when something bad happens to them. And whereas their minds may be on something else, when something bad happens, they turn to the one that they know can save them. Or even if they don't know God, they turn to God. Please help me out of this mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be learned by ancient Israel.
Yeah, amen, amen. You know, I came across.
We learned that you know, and if you really look at this, you know, we learn so much from ancient Israel with their idolatry. I mean, from one king to the next. I mean, we go on and on. We'll be forever. That's the truth. However, we learn from those lessons, hopefully. But unfortunately, sometimes people don't learn, you know. And, you know, spiritual Israel today is following many of these old kings and things that have happened. So, but you know what? Among all of that, there's always a remnant. There's always a group of people that will be faithful to God and continue to learn through the mistakes and the errors of these people. So God does let a lot to, I love this, chapter very much, because, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, with the help of God, we'll all be in heaven and we'll see Nebuchadnezzar, because I believe he'll be there. And we learned a lot. He learned a lot from Daniel. Daniel was set there for a reason. You know, he was there and God put them there. So, I feel very grateful to be able to, have these words, you know, that Sister White was able to put on paper and give to us, because we've learned an awful lot from these writings. Tremendous.
Amen. Absolutely true, dear sister. And you know, with Daniel, if Babylon had not conquered Israel and had not taken Daniel and others of the seed royal, right? And then made them eunuchs.
Mm-hmm.
The great things that happened with Daniel in the Babylonian Empire, especially with Nebuchadnezzar and becoming the head of all the wise men in the realm, right? None of that could have occurred.
No.
So here we see that God has a much bigger picture in mind that he has for his people to be used in such a way as to spread the truth of God throughout the kingdom at that time and through all the other kingdoms that were connected with Babylon. And it involved the faithfulness of his people. So, you know, like with Abraham. Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees, which was part of Babylon. God told him to separate from Babylon, and in doing so, he would make Abraham from his lineage, a great people. So here was a negative thing. You have to leave your father's home, your friends and loved ones, and go where I show you, there in the wilderness. But look at the great blessing that happened because of Abraham's faithfulness. And it's the same with Daniel, the same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it's the same with God's people today. So if we recognize that, you know, our car breaks down, or our appliances don't work like they should, or we're going through some unsavory experience, right? Let us recognize that there's a bigger picture here. God knows the future, and he allowed this negative experience for a very good reason. So your car breaks down, it has to be towed. Well, here's an opportunity for you to witness to the tow truck driver. And then the car has to be taken to a repair place. Here's another opportunity to witness to those that are involved in getting your car repaired. You never would have been able to meet these individuals without that negative experience occurring. So if we can broaden our view of things, right, instead of focusing on, oh, no, how am I going to get to work my car? Instead of focusing on the event at hand, let us broaden our view and recognize that God already knew the car was going to break down. In fact, God allowed it to break down just at that point in time, because through your faithfulness, you'll be able to witness the truth to many people you never would have had the opportunity to witness to without this occurrence happening. So amen, and praise God for the spirit of prophecy that brings up these insights that allow us to see the bigger picture.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking about this whole time frame, because, you know, we had Jeremiah at this time and Ezekiel. They were, you know, Jeremiah was all they were part of the time of Daniel. And here he is, Jeremiah, going up and down the streets. Of course, they were annoyed at him, and they even put him in prison, as we all know. But in any event, he was warning them. There's a bigger, and that's the thing. He was warning them, is to stay in Babylon. Don't leave. Stay in Babylon. You know what I mean? And I do understand their thinking about Babylon, but they needed to listen to the prophet. They needed to listen to what Jeremiah was saying. They needed to pay attention to what was really going on. And they, a lot of them didn't. They died in Egypt. I mean, we can go on and on about this story, you know, and, Judea. I mean, they died. I mean, you know, many of them died. God knew. I mean, he had that bigger picture as you were describing, brother. And, yeah, he knew exactly what was going on. You have to hold fast to the Lord. Just hold fast to him. Don't let go. That's the bottom line. And listen to the prophets. He sent them.
Amen. And so shall ye prosper.
Amen.
Listen to the prophets.
Yeah.
Amen. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? Please feel free. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
It was right for the king to make public confession. It was right for the king to make public confession, okay, and to seek to exalt the God of heaven above all other gods. But in endeavoring to force his subjects to make a similar confession of faith and to show similar reverence, Nebuchadnezzar was exceeding his right as a temporal sovereign. That's right. Kings were used to making decrees, so he couldn't help himself. He had no more right, either civil or moral, to threaten men with death for not worshiping God than he had to make the decree consigning to the flames all who refused to worship the golden image. God never compels the obedience of man. He leaves all free to choose whom they will serve.
Amen. Amen. What fantastic insight into this. So the king would have been within his jurisdiction to say, I have chosen to follow, to adore, to worship the God of the Hebrews. And I encourage everyone in my realm to do the same. He would have been well within his jurisdiction. But for him to command, then he was actually setting himself above God, who never compels obedience. So God woos his people. He draws them. He encourages them. He entices them, if you will. He reveals his love for them, that, and true love has a drawing power. But God never compels obedience. So in this area, Nebuchadnezzar went beyond what he should have. And as our dear brother brought out, that was sort of the prerogative of kings at that time, you know. But still, Nebuchadnezzar exceeded his authority. And so here we come through the ages now. You have the Jews when they were fighting against Christ, telling individuals, if you dare mention his name, you will be cast out. And then you have further on down, you have Catholicism saying, if you don't, then you will be condemned to the flames, taking away the freedom to choose, trying to force the conscience. And then we come all the way down to the last days. You have to worship the beast and receive his mark, or you will be killed. You won't be able to buy and sell. You won't be able to, in any way, conduct business, financial affairs, even buy clothing or food, unless you obey. Compelling the conscience. And so when laws are made so stringent that you have to disobey God in order to obey the laws of the land, we know who we have to stand for because God is greater. We must serve God, and God will take care of the consequences, just like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. O King, our God is able to deliver us from your decree, from your punishment, from your threats, even from death. But if God chooses not to, we're still not going to obey your command. So God is the greatest sovereign. He's our creator. He's our redeemer. He's our protector. He's our shield. He's our mighty fortress. So we're to have no other gods before him, including state gods, national gods, right? Including those who make commands showing themselves to be like God. We're to follow God. And then he'll take care of the consequences, whatever they may be. And look at how he's able to take care of the consequences. Amen. Hugs and love to you too, dear sister and family. Any thoughts or comments, insights, questions, please feel free.
Well, we know that this is coming very soon, the Sunday law, and we have to prepare. And knowing this and other things as we learn in the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, we are to stand and stand firmly. As long as we stand on the rock, we have nothing to fear. Love casts out all fear, right? And what did Jesus say? In this world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we're here together and we have to stand together because this is coming soon. And, there's no coincidences about, you know, Pope Leo and the 14th because we know about Pope Leo the 13th with J.T. Jones, you know. So all of these things are not shocking or shouldn't be anyway. They did very well in that time, even though they were locked up and some of them went to prison with chains and all back in those times, because of this. But, God, they stood firm and God stood right behind A.T. Jones when he was there to tell the truth and show it as it really is. Obedience to God. And that's our country is the right of conscience. That's what we're built on this and the Bible and God built all of this on that obedience, but by choice. We have the free will to serve whom we want.
Amen. Amen. And you know, when A.T. Jones was up there being grilled by Senator Blair and other senators,
yeah, I love it.
one of his brethren asked him, how did you know what to say? And A.T. Jones says, you know, it was amazing. I didn't prepare what I was going to say beforehand. I just allowed the Spirit to speak. And he goes, it was like I could see the words and I just read the words out loud. So it was like a teleprompter, you know. And God will do the same for us if we will, as our dear sister mentioned, stand for him. just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They stood for God and let God handle the consequences.
Yeah. So. These are 17-year-old boys, Pastor. They were young. They were young. Daniel was young at this time anyway. He was young. They were all young. The three boys and Daniel. They were young men. Young, you know, and they stood firm, which is wonderful. We should all take a very good example. I mean, we should take a good example of this. Think about it. If they were 17, okay, they lived 17 years with the understanding of the Lord. If we're 65 and we're living all our lives basically, or 25, 30 years with the Lord, should we not stand firm? You know, that's the whole thing. And it's, you know, but we do need encouragement with each other. Absolutely. Encouragement is important, you know. And this is really A.T. Jones, you know, I have the book, the National Sunday Law that he wrote, the one that's out there. That's the same information, but he has it in a different way, how he presents it. And it's amazing, you know, how he came forward and not only brought out the First Amendment, but he brought the 14th Amendment. He knew exactly. And so if he wasn't prepared and the Holy Spirit guided him, just think about how much more that he'll do for us if we stand firm.
Amen. Amen. Sister Joan, did you have a comment? I saw your mic up.
Yes, I was just going to comment on the power of choice. And only because Jesus made it possible for us to choose. He loves us that much that he gave his life that we had the power of choice.
Amen. Excellent point. And praise his name for his voluntary sacrifice to set us free. Any other thoughts or comments, Derwin?
God blesses everyone, and I like to share a comment from my study in the East about geology that goes along this part of the story. It says in this part, what the Jews as a nation had failed to do in proclaiming being food to the nations of the world, God accomplished under the most trying circumstances with only three men. The story of the miraculous deliverance was told to the ends of the earth, as spoken in Stephen Haskell's book, In the Cross and its Shadow. This reminds us of the time of trouble when a few, like the three, in comparison of the multitude of the world, will show themselves faithful to the God of gods. We reverence God today by keeping the Sabbath in our lives and hearts. If we do, Jesus says that we will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and shall turn to you for a testimony. As spoken in Luke 21:12-13, and Isaiah 43:10 says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. And the type of rock that goes along with the study is the next member of the sedimentary rock family, the dolomite. It says that the dolomite is a sedimentary rock and another type of limestone which is made under the sea. It is white or light colored. One kind of dolomite breaks up easily. It looks just like white rice. The dolomite is used in the manufacturing process of iron and steel as filler in paint, putty, and rubber. Marble contains dolomite crystals, and they're famous for its unusual colors. As dolomite is important in the manufacturing of useful articles, it is also important that God's children prepare for the last great trial of this earth, the Sabbath Sunday crisis. By their obedience to God's law and their reverence of this Sabbath day, they will become a useful example to the whole world. believe it or not, you know that Sabbath keeping Christian group, the Waldenses, I read a book about everything that they went through and made them fled to Italy in the mountains. And believe it or not, the whole mountains was made out of dolomite. And the fact that it even has that name. That's where many of them have went into to hide it. Some of them made new homes, others made resting places. Some were captured by by the Roman army and others fought them. Overall, the mountains was their refuge when they were being hunted by the papal law authority and by the Roman army when they refused to go according to laws of yielding to Sunday worship. And just like them, that trial may come even for us one of these days. Is will we maybe be forced to either obey it or suffer a consequence if we don't? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to face the consequences is because they knew too that would be their fate if they did worship Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. And God saved them from being put to death. We'll know God will do the same, but whether he saves us or whether we lose our lives for what we believe in, all things will be okay because we put our dependence, our very lives on him and him alone. And that is where true reverence is supposed to come into mind. By showing reverence to God, we're being very useful like the mineral dolomite is. It may have uses for iron and steel. That's probably what they've been using. What weapon builders have been using so they can build all those vehicles in combat, like warplanes, tanks and whatnot. That's also what they even use for everyday products, tools, and other items. Just as the dolomite has its many uses, So God has many uses for us. By us having our talents, like our speech, our know-how, the things we remember, by handling what things we have, that's how God has his many uses for us. And as long as we obey his laws, be respectful, reverent, and faithful, and selfless in our heart, we have, we're already shown the many purposes that we need in order to be of service to the Lord. And we may have good rewards for what we've done, just as the three Hebrew men have been rewarded for what they did. By having reverence for the one true God, I'm willing to face death, even for just obeying him alone, and defying the king's orders. They were rewarded in more ways than one. God will do the same thing for us as long as we remain trustful and reverent to him only. And that's the comment I want to give.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Wonderful insights from the things of nature. And you know, our dear sister Pat brought up that the events that were taking place are for our learning, our knowledge, our admonition for today. So if you carry that thought, God allowed this situation to occur to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, especially for our generation. We see in the experience how standing for God, regardless of the cost, allowed the knowledge of God to spread far and wide. And so we recognize that if we stand for God against the beast, against his image, against his mark, regardless of the cost, that will also allow the knowledge of God to spread far and wide. Paul talks about the writings of the Old Testament and the occurrences that God allowed to happen to his people are admonitions for those who live in the last days. Well, that's you and me. So that kind of opens up a whole new area of thought that when we go back into the Old Testament, and even the New Testament, and we see what experiences God's people went through, God allowed that to happen especially for us to take counsel from, admonition from, courage from, and comfort from, because we know that God's in control. So if you have that thought in the back of your mind as you're reading the scriptures are never a dead book. They're alive. They have instruction, important understanding to teach us, because it was written especially for those of us who live in these last days. Without the Bible, we couldn't be prepared to stand. Without the experiences that God's people went through, we wouldn't have the courage to stand. We wouldn't have the insight. We wouldn't have the knowledge. We wouldn't have the ability to know how God deals with his people, how he controls the future, how he never forsakes those who put their trust in him. And that enables us to be fortified and prepared to stand for him in these last days. I mean, it's astounding to think of that God allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go through what they did to help us in the last days to stand for him. It's astounding to think of it that way. Yeah, amen. A comment in the room says, submit yourselves to be used. Amen. Another comment says, train up the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Amen. Another comment, their foundation was solid, yeah, on the solid rock. Amen. And as parents, if we train our children up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord, and we ask God for his help in doing so, he will. He'll send the Holy Spirit to move upon the hearts of our children to allow them to grow upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Even if our kids are old, it's not too late. You can still train them. You can still point them to God. Amen.
I just want to say, yeah. About that, what you're saying is true. We can train them by being an example. It's better to see a sermon than hear one. And I think that you can learn a lot from that. So with having older children, as I have, one daughter who's an old, we need to just stay firm ourselves, move forward in the truth, and pray that they see and will move forward as well. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. But you know, what greater army can you be in? You know, I come from a military family. My father was in the military. And I look at this as, when I look at the great controversy, I look at this as, I'm on the front lines. We're on the front line. But it's a choice of what captain you want to be with. Do you want to be with Satan or do you want to be with Christ? Jesus already won the war. He's the greatest captain and the greatest teacher. And he loved us so much, he gave his life for us. What greater captain can you have? You know, I feel blessed to be a part of his army and his and being on the front line with him.
Amen. There's no better place to be. But not everybody views it that way because they get tired of the war. They get tired of the battle between truth and error. And so they kind of, they want to take themselves away from the front lines and hide in the shadows. But if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have done that, there wouldn't have been the great victory that occurred afterwards. So there is a time and season for everything. There is a time to stand, right? And God will indeed give you the grace, the divine power, and the courage to stand regardless of the consequences. You just have to submit yourself to do his will. And you'll never regret it. Who would like to read this next paragraph?
I can read it, Elder Sinsler. By the deliverance of his faithful servants, the Lord declared that he takes his stand with the oppressed and rebukes all earthly powers that rebel against the authority of heaven. The three Hebrews declared to the whole nation of Babylon their faith in him, whom they worshipped. They relied on God. In the hour of their trial, they remembered the promise. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And in a marvelous manner, their faith in the living word had been honored in the sight of all. The tidings of their wonderful deliverance were carried to many, many countries by the representatives of the different nations that had been invited by Nebuchadnezzar to the dedication. Through the faithfulness of his children, God was glorified in all the earth. Amen. Amen. That is beautiful.
Amen. And it's the same today. Through the faithfulness of you and me, God will be glorified in all the earth.
Awesome.
Yes, go ahead.
Someone put in the comment, they put Moses, and yeah, he's one of the greatest prophets. I mean, we all need to capture Moses and all that he went through. We need to really hold on to some of that too. It's amazing. He's a great example also. And he's the type of Christ. So, you know, he's a very great example. There's so many, Joseph too. I mean, there's so many of them that are, you know, examples for us.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so when you look at Moses, God gave him the freedom to choose. Do you want to be the king of Egypt and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Or do you want to follow me and I will allow you to deliver my people? And Moses chose to stand with his nation, with God's followers. How many of us would do that if we were offered the glories of a whole nation? Would we choose to remain connected with humble, hated people? Slaves? You know, look at Joseph. That was brought up here in the text. God knew that through Joseph's faithfulness, he would become a great ruler in a great kingdom and would be the means of preserving his family and brothers and sisters.
I love the story of Joseph.
But look what Joseph had to go through in order to be prepared. it's amazing.
He's wonderful.
And look at the turmoil. Look at the trouble that Joseph had to go through in order to be prepared for the future glory. If he would have rebelled against any of the negative events that in God's providence were allowed, he never would have been prepared. It was only by his submission to God and his remaining Christian through all of these negative events that refined his character to the point that God could trust him in the greatest of events. The same with Moses. He had to flee for his life. He had to be, instead of a general of army or a pharaoh on the throne, he had to be a protector of sheep. One of the lowliest of jobs, right?
40 years.
The most humble of jobs, right? And it was through his faithfulness in the little, the least, right? The most humble, that God could then trust him with the greatest of responsibilities. And it's the same with us. Yeah, amen. Comment.
Amen.
The comment in the room says it shows that not all trials are for destruction. Trials are like the refiner's fire. Amen. Great point.
The potter, you know, we're the clay. Yeah. I'm thinking about Joseph when you think about all that happened to him. I mean, he was sold into slavery, then he went in Potiphar's house. Okay. And when he was thrown into prison, but see, when you think about it, God was with him every single step. Even in the dungeon, he ran the dungeon. The guy that was head of the dungeon actually made him the head, like do everything in the dungeon. Like he was like the head, sort of like a head guard almost, taking care of things. He was just amazing. God just provided for him all the way. And it wasn't easy for him. And, you know.
No, that's very true. That's very true. When his 11 brothers, well, most of them, but his brothers sold him into slavery, betrayed him. I mean, that was.
Yes.
How can you suffer any greater hurt than that?
Exactly. And then in the pit, they threw him in the pit with the stakes. I mean, it was just, yeah. Oh, yeah. But God was with him all the way.
And that's a fantastic point. God was not just with Joseph when he was the second highest ruler in Egypt. Mm-hmm. He was with Joseph when he went through the betrayal of his brothers.
Yeah.
When he went through the selling, being sold as a slave to Potiphar, when he went through the false accusation of Potiphar's wife, when he was in the jail for, what was it, 1+ years?
Mm-hmm. 7.
God was with him through all of that.
7 years he was in there, I think. About 7 years, Zelda. I think 7 years, yeah. Yep.
And it shows that when we go through negative things, the devil's going to be right there saying, you're going through all this trouble because God has forsaken you. And when the devil comes in like a flood, all we have to do is bring back to our mind these experiences that Moses and Joseph and Shadrach and Meshach and Daniel and so on, all the experiences that they went through, and yet God was with them every step of the way. So he'll be with us every step of the way if we hold on to him.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yes, happy Sabbath, everyone. I was wondering what decision Seventh Day Baptists have to make and other groups that keep the Sabbath that aren't Adventists.
Yeah, and it shows that God has his children out there, even though they're not called Sabbath keepers, right? God has his children out there. He has his witnesses in every nation, among every kindred and tongue and people. And so God just doesn't have one particular people that are named a particular name or are part of a particular nationality. He has his remnant among many nations out there, as I think we're told in Micah. The remnant of God are among many peoples. And praise God for that. Question in the room, how about Moses' mother? Yeah. She definitely manifested faith in God's ability to watch over his people amongst negative situations, right? The decree was to kill every infant 2 years and under. And Moses' mother would not allow that to happen to her son, so she put him in God's care. So, amen. Great point. Now, I want to bring up one more point here. What helped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to put implicit faith in God's ability to protect them from the fire? Comment says the Holy Spirit. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Any other thoughts?
Was it the Bible verse that said, if you walk through the fire, I will be with you?
Amen. Amen. It says, in the hour of their trial, they remembered the promise. Now, who brought that to their memory?
That's right.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, right? So both comments are correct here. It was the Holy Spirit that brought the scripture back to their remembrance. So here's the king threatening them with being burned alive in an oven. And the Spirit brought back to their mind the promise of God that when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, and there shall no flame kindle upon you. And that memory, that remembering of the verse, gave them courage to stand firm. Now, if they had never spent time reading the Bible, could they have remembered this promise?
No. They would never have remembered it at all. You have to be, you can't remember something you've never read.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit will bring to you what you remember. The word remember tells you that. You will bring it to your remembrance. So that's what that means. Yeah, definitely.
Amen. Amen. He'll bring all the words of Christ, whatsoever he spoke, back to our minds. And Christ is the word. So that's the entire Bible. So we have to spend time ourselves in reading the scriptures so that it can be put into our memory. The Spirit can write it in our mind, in our heart. And then the Spirit can bring it back to our remembrance. Now, some have problems reading. They do better listening. And that's fine. But it has to be in your memory, whether you read it for yourself or you hear it. It has to be in your memory. And before it can get in your memory, you have to take the time to allow it to be put there. So in the hour of their trial, the Spirit brought back to their memory the promise that they needed right at that moment in time, because they were being threatened with fire. Yeah, that's true. We have audio Bibles today. So you have to take the time to allow God's word to be in your mind, whether you read it through the sense of sight, whether you hear it through the sense of reading, whether you're blind and deaf and you feel it through Braille, right? You need to get God's word written in your heart and mind. And then that allows the Spirit to bring back the very verse that you need in order to stand firm for God. So there's power in the word. That power is divine. And we need that divine word in our hearts and minds so that we can stand for God through the negative trials of life. And then God will be glorified.
I was just going to comment, Jesus' parables are still being told in the Bible, because anytime anyone reads the Bible, they read the stories, the parables, the lessons that Jesus talked about.
Amen. Amen. Oh, no, we got a bunch of paragraphs, so I guess we'll stop here for now, and we will pick it up at the next paragraph that starts out, "Important are the lessons to be learned." Yes, we've seen some of the importance of these lessons, and we'll be able to find out a little more insight next Friday. Let's see, that looks like about a third, maybe halfway down on page 512. So that's where we'll pick it up next Friday. Any other thoughts or comments, insights, testimonies, anything else you'd like to share, dear ones? Please.
Yeah, a little remnant against the world of all of its wonders after the beast. Too bad God only has a small, tiny remnant.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And praise God for his remnant, for his elect. Amen. So,
happy Sabbath, Sister Shaka.
Happy Sabbath.
Amen. So this promise in Isaiah is not just for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's for us as well. And in the hour of our trial, that can be many times a day, right? It doesn't have to be just the big ones. It can be even the smallest of trials, something that tempts us to be unchristian, tempts us to be unlike Christ. Whenever that trial comes, we can recall this verse, when thou passest through the waters, right? Those waters can be very swift. They can threaten our life. That trial can be horrendously strong. And yet, Christ will be with us through it. This trial will not overflow us. We will not be carried away of it. We will not drown, because Christ is right there with us to deliver us. Just like he did Peter when he fell in the water. Just like he did the disciples when their boat was sinking. With Christ in our midst, we have nothing to fear. Marvelous things will be done to bring us through that trial. So memorize this verse, Isaiah 43:2, right? And the Spirit, if you look to him, will bring other verses to your remembrance to give you strength, courage to stand firm and not give in. Any other thoughts, Dylan? So praise God for the spirit of prophecy. Praise him for his living word. And praise him most of all for his scriptures. With this word of God, we're able to test every other proposed teaching, doctrine, theory, interpretation, to see if there's light in it. If it agrees, it's full of light. If it disagrees, there's no light. And may God's living word be in our hearts and mind, written there, immovable, that we might, in following it, be immovable as well, not shaken, but firmly standing on Christ. But dear ones, any last thoughts before we have closing prayer?
I just wanted to say thank you to all of those who told us what was on your mind. And to say thank you for Sister Patricia, whom I haven't met yet, but and Cerise, I know who Cerise is. Thank you all for your comments.
I want to thank everyone, too, and happy Sabbath to all. May you have a blessed Sabbath. Thank you, Joan. Looking forward to knowing you.
Amen. Amen. And praise God for giving us the ability to come together at one time, in one place, from all over the world. It is indeed a blessing and an edification. And praise God for using many people to help one another to stand firm for him because of their love for him and his greater love for them. Well, glad you could make it, dear sister, even though it was a little late. That's okay. And praise God for opening your home with the Sabbath. That's fantastic. Well, dear ones, who would like to offer closing prayer? Please go right ahead.
Dear Lord, we thank you and we love you. We're so grateful for all this opportunity to be together on your wonderful Sabbath, Lord. We ask you to bless each and everyone on this line tonight and their families. Most of all, our nation. And Lord, I ask you to help us continue to stay steadfast, Lord, in your name, in everything. May we continue to study and learn and take all these things in our hearts and our minds. May we always walk in obedience and remember all those wonderful promises, but most of all, Lord, your sacrifice. We love you and we worship you and we want to continue to worship you and we thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Well, dear ones, those of us here in North America have a wonderful night's sleep, and we look forward to being in fellowship with you tomorrow. The Spanish children's group starts out at 7:30 Pacific, which will be 10:30 Eastern. And then the English children's lesson will begin at 9:30 Pacific, which will be 12:30 Eastern. And then our youth and adult Sabbath school will be 10:30 Pacific, which will be 1:30 Eastern. And then our main service will be at noon Pacific or 3 p.m. Eastern. So we look forward to being back in fellowship with you soon. And those on the other side of the world, I pray that you'll have a wonderful Sabbath. And dear ones, until we meet again, keep looking.
Thank you. Good night.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. There it goes. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.